from Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. It's the autumn slash Thanksgiving episode of the Beer of the Day podcast. On the show today, we try some different harvest ales, things that you might find on the Thanksgiving Day table, brown sugar from Lagunitas, basically anything that kind of fits the season without getting into the winter category, because we know the stores right now are filling up with winter beers. My name is Dallas Hellicker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, Kira Hopkin, Brandon Hofer, and on Skype from Pasadena, Jeff Miller.
Good evening.
I think someone let a turkey loose in here.
How's it going, everybody?
Going great.
Good. Doing good.
Well, we have the store right now. There is maybe 25 different winter and Christmas beers, and there was a few that kind of fit into the fall, autumn, harvest, Thanksgiving Day category. And so I wanted to do a Thanksgiving show and get these ones out of the way before December comes and we move into the never-ending stream of winter beers. But before we get into that, did anyone have any interesting beers they wanted to mention this week?
I had a macadamia nut porter from Six Rivers Brewery that night. It was wonderful. Highly recommend it.
Was it really sweet?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It's sweet for a beer. Sweeter than you'd expect a beer to taste. But it's very smooth, velvety, wonderful.
You've been having a lot of that campfire stout lately. How does it compare to that? Is it as sweet as that or a little sweeter?
It's sweeter, I would say. A little less complex.
Nutty?
It's a bit nutty. Yeah.
You like nutty beers, don't you?
I'll have to try that. Sounds like a good dessert beer.
Yeah, highly recommend it.
Jeff, you have any interesting ones this week?
Not really. You know, I'm with the time change, I don't drink as much beer because every day I'm like drinking a beer, taking pictures for the website. And now that it gets dark by the time I get home, I've been trying not to drink as much during the week. So I had nothing all week.
Well,
sadly.
So on last weekend, on Saturday, they have something called the Chutes Street Pub, which is a traveling
cluster.
A traveling bar. Let's put it that way. It's really like four bars and around 400 feet long or something. And they take over several city blocks in whatever city they're visiting. And so we went to, in Sacramento, downtown, they took over probably about a three block area. And they put bars all along it and then food vendors on one side. They had a live band. And it was a pretty neat idea. We got there maybe 2 hours after it started. And when we arrived, it was packed.
There was at least 17 billion people.
There was a lot of people.
In a three block radius.
So, you know, we needed to get a beer. Joel had got the beer tickets, right?
Yeah.
And so we get in line and we walk around the whole thing twice to find the longest or the shortest line. And we found it and it took us about
30 minutes from there.
Probably 30 minutes, 35 minutes to get our they let you get two different beers at the same time.
Two full beers or two tasters?
Two full beers.
That's not terrible.
Yeah, it was.
Well,
chug one down and then drink the next one while you're waiting in line for two more.
If you'd bought five tickets, it would have taken you
the entire
4 hours to drink all of them at the fastest pace possible.
And so when we were there, they hadn't opened. Later on in the evening, I mean, this thing went from 2 to 10 p.m. And I heard later on that once everyone had a couple of beers, then the lines kind of died down and you could get access. But early on when we were there, it was really difficult to navigate around and it wasn't really worth it. At the time, most of the beers you could just get in the store. They actually had their reserve series later on. They were going to open up their the Abyss and their Stoic and their Not Stoic. But they weren't serving those when we were there. So I had the Chasing Freshies IPA, which I'd had before many times, and that's a pretty good one. And then one I had not had before was their Zarabanda, which is a farmhouse ale.
Saison.
A Saison?
Yeah. It was spicy. I remember that being...
Yeah, it was spicy. It was pretty good, though. So we did get to try a couple beers, and I heard the people that were there later actually had a better time. When I was there, I was thinking maybe charge a little bit of a cover on there just to keep the lines down a little bit. But it was an interesting experience. So, you know, maybe, especially if it comes to a city that might not be as big as Sacramento, you know, if I don't know if it's going to smaller towns or whatever, but if you see it, you know, it might be something interesting to check out because they did bring all of their beers. And if you make it a full day event, you could probably get your... Mm-hmm. Your time's worth.
And the prices weren't bad. It was $5 a beer, I think.
Right. So you're going to get your money's worth, but you want it to be worth your time going down to something like that. All right. Well, let's move into the first beers of the day. We have two from Goose Island in Chicago. And this was part of their fall pack. And these two are their Autumn Ale, which is 6.7%, and their Goose Experimental Ale Autumn 2015 Edition, 5.7%. So are we starting with the experimental?
No.
Autumn.
Oh, Autumn. Okay. So I see a very clear beer with some light carbonation bubbling up, maybe medium carbonation. The color is a orange amber color, and it's light on the orange. It's mostly just kind of amber.
Just looking at it, the first thing it reminds me of just by the color is it really looks like one of the Oktoberfest beer shows.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
It looks exactly like one of our Oktoberfest beers. I mean, a little bit later in the year, but just by looking at it, that's the first thing I thought of. I haven't tried it.
I was thinking exactly that thing. As the Spaten especially, it reminds me a lot of that.
Kind of a light tan colored head, good looking beer. On the smell, I do get some caramel malt flavor smells.
Oh, that's good. It's definitely more of a red ale. It's got some pretty good hop notes actually with it. You know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's extra bitter, but it's got some definite hop to it.
It's pretty dry. Like the first thing I notice, it's hoppy, but it's got a very dry finish, kind of like a biscuity, bready taste. But the mouth feels very dry.
Yeah, I agree. That's perfect. I actually enjoy the amount of hops in it. It does kind of just pucker you up a little bit. It's real nice. It smooths out.
It's got a spice to it, too. Peppery.
There's some pepper.
I thought on the nose I might smell a little bit of like maybe like grape or something that just seemed a little weird about it. Something that smelled kind of sweet, but I couldn't quite figure out what it was. And I was trying to taste that, and I don't really taste any sweetness.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
It's kind of like a peppery pale ale almost. I mean, it's malty. I mean, it's got a good hoppy flavor, but it's a pretty malty beer with a peppery kind of spicy finish. I like it. I think it's pretty enjoyable.
But the mouthfeel is kind of medium. It's not syrupy. It's kind of pretty drinkable to me.
But with that little bit, like Jeff said, a little cotton mouth at the end. That's probably the biggest turnoff about it, but
I don't really get that for me. Maybe
just the bitterness for you. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I like it. It's got I think the hop balances out the malt characteristics in it, and there's just like everybody said, there's a little bit of spice. And you know, I think it's a good example.
I think it's a great beer to on a football Sunday to kind of have one of these every once in a while to kind of break the palate a little bit.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with this one. I'm looking forward to this experimental one because, you know, in the fall packs, usually there's a couple of good ones and then a couple of clunkers.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even look at what the other two were in the box, but it's probably their IPA.
Well, go ahead and
IPA was one of them.
Crack that baby open, Andy.
All right, Jeff, let's move on to the second one.
All right, let's do this. So I just poured them both, I poured the second one next to the first, and they're pretty identical in color, except I think this experimental one is a little hazier. There's a little cloudiness to it. but pretty close in color.
Pretty clear, but
it might be a shade darker. And it is a shade hazier.
I'm getting that little grape smell again. I don't know if you guys follow me on that or... Almost smells like a wine grape.
Do you just want some wine?
Maybe I do.
It smells to me just like the other beer.
Very similar smell.
You know, these beers don't taste that different to me. I mean, they're pretty similar. This one has a little bit more... A little bit more maltiness, a little bit less fresh hop. Not that the first one was very fresh hopped, but there's a little less hops in this one.
The caramel malts come through a little more on this one.
Yep.
And for me, I get a little bit more piney rather than spicy like up front. I definitely get a more piney hop flavor.
Not that dry finish.
Yep.
Right.
I don't get piney as much as I get something a little sweet. I mean, more caramel.
Well, I guess I'm just comparing to the last one. Like the first thing I get, it's not nearly as spicy, and the hop flavor profile that I get up front is more of the piney, which I think comes from the Cascade based off the check mark on the bottle over here. But that's the first major difference I noticed between the two, and it's overall not as bitter as the last one as their Autumn Ale.
I was actually going to comment on the check marks on the bottle. I think it's neat that out of the five types of hops that exist in the world, they use two of them.
there's more than five, Steve.
But he's saying there's only five check marks.
It seems very weird to me that they would arbitrarily pick those five hops and then check two of them off. Like, well, we didn't use these three, but we used the other two.
They probably use them in another experimental series.
Maybe. Yeah, could be. Maybe.
Marketing.
It's very marketing-ish.
A little marketing, yeah.
So what do you guys like better? I mean, this one is definitely less peppery, less spicy. It's a little smoother, I think, maybe, in my opinion.
I think I like the experimental better. I don't like the original, the Autumn Ale at all.
The experimental reminds me a lot of the IPA. It's kind of almost exactly the same.
I think that the Autumn could be this experimental just kind of on steroids. Like, it just seems like it's kind of similar, but then just kind of beefed up.
You'd think it'd be the opposite. You'd think that the experimental one would be the beefed up one, but it's actually a percent less in alcohol. It's less hoppy, a little more malty, a little sweeter, maybe a little more universally palatable.
Yeah, for me personally, I mean, it's not a bad beer, but it just falls a little flat. I mean, there's not a lot of depth of flavor to it. You get a little bit of, for me, I get a little bit of hops up front, and there's not a lot else after that for me. And so if I had to pick one of the two, I'm definitely getting the Autumn Ale.
Me too.
Me three.
It's funny because I would typically say, of course, that I don't want the hoppier one. But in this scenario, I think that the experimental, Brandon said it perfectly, it falls a little short, it's a little plain. And then the Autumn Ale, you can really, you know, if you had it, like Andy said, you want it for watching football. You know, it's something you could reach for.
Yeah, I think both of these would be drinkable in that situation.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
The comment this week is from O Buckeye Nut. And he commented on the salted caramel brownie brown ale from New Belgian and Ben & Jerry's, which we did on the show last week. And his comment is, just listen to the Red, White, and Peach podcast, which is what I called it. Second time listening, liking the podcast so far, and will become a regular in rotation on the drive to work. Keep up the good work. Not familiar with the names and voices, but someone mentioned that they had this beer without the bottle, they'd think it was a solid brown ale. So he's basically saying that because it's Ben and Jerry's, you kind of think it's going to be sweeter, but then when you have it and you don't have any preconceived notion about it, it's actually a pretty good brown. I fully agree. Had this beer on Halloween and thought the exact same thing. Not nearly enough brownie, chocolate, salt, or caramel to live up to what's on the label, but in overall terms of a drinkable beer, it was that. Looking forward to going through the archives and listening to all of you on a consistent basis. Thanks, Rich.
Well, thanks, Rich.
Yeah, thanks, Rich.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, Rich, if you have any beers that you'd like to, that you had that you like and you, want to tell us about it, send us an email, feedback@beerofthedaycom, or just you know, post it on the Facebook page. Or if you are really feeling ambitious and you have beers in your neck of the woods that you want to put up on the website, you can do that, and we will feature them as the beer of the day. So you can take your favorite beer that we don't have up there, take a picture of it, upload it to the site, write your description of it, and your beer can be the beer of the day. And that's true for all the users of the Beer of the Day website. Rich wrote in, so because of that, he is going to get a six-pack of Beer of the Day coasters. So I will email him after this program comes out on Tuesday and get his address, and we will send him the six-pack of Beer of the Day coasters. Anyone who writes into this show, you get entered into the drawing, and each week we are going to give away a six-pack to some listener that participates. So feedback at beerofthedaycom, or just leave a comment right on the website, either on a beer or on the podcast page. Let's get into the next beer of the day. It is Harvest Ale from Victory Brewing Company, Downingtown, Pennsylvania. 6.5%.
Woo! This has an aroma.
Sure,
I like it.
Steve's smelling.
There's a theme
Victory
on the colors of the beers tonight.
It smells like,
it's like we're back in the
freshly cut
Oktoberfest, yeah, show, just with a lot different flavor profile.
They're all kind of amber colored. This one is slightly more translucent than the first one, slightly less transparent. It has a little more head.
Smells very skunky.
Skunky?
It's skunky got, with the side of something. I'm not entirely sure what that is.
You get a bad bottle? Mine isn't skunky at all.
I think it's just the hop she's referring to.
It smells skunky to me. Yeah.
It's got a skunky hop.
Well, for me, I mean, it's kind of got that danky hop smell, yeah, is what I got. I
aroma
mean, with
wise,
the fresh hop. But
it reminds me of the Born Yesterday aroma.
But a little funkier. It's got some funky dankness to it.
Oh, it tastes like it too.
It's got kind of the carbonation of like champagne. We talk about some beers having that kind of champagne carbonation. This is very bubbly, in my
really?
Opinion.
Mine's kind of flat.
Mine too.
I would go with a little on the flat side as well.
You must have got a little extra in your bottle there.
I guess so.
Maybe you shook it up first.
So for me, this beer, it definitely has those wet hop characteristics where it's very hop forward. That's really all the flavor that you get. You don't really get any of the malt to it, and it's really a hop focused beer for sure. This isn't one that you're going to want to keep sitting around and drink in 6 months. You're going to want to drink this pretty much as soon as you buy it.
I get some, I mean, you said no malt, but I get some malt there. It carries a little bit of that East Coast characteristic in it.
It's so hoppy, though.
It's very hoppy, but there's still a malt backbone there.
There's enough of a hoppy characteristic where I wouldn't classify this as an East Coast style beer. It kind of has that West Coast hop, danky hop taste.
They're not bright floral hops. They're earthy.
That's
kind
good.
Of citrusy. And I think the finish is like juicy. I don't know. I don't know why I think that. I don't know if you guys agree, but it's juicy.
It is. It's kind of flat and syrupy.
Flat and syrupy?
I think so, yeah.
It's the same?
Well, like juice, I mean.
Okay. Yeah.
Like if you drink apple juice.
Right.
But with a bunch of hops in it.
I just get you take hops and you crush them up, and that hop juice that you get, I kind of feel like you're drinking that.
I'm kind of on the same page.
That's not how it works at all.
I know, but
that'd be incredibly bitter.
Correct, but that's just how fresh the taste is. It's very fresh hop tasting.
Definitely, and I agree with what most people said. Steve said it was definitely an earthy flavor, and I get that for sure, where it's Just that danky, earthy malt, or not malt, I'm sorry, hop. And, you know, it's, for me, it's a good beer. I enjoy it because I enjoy hops. But if you don't like hops, then I would avoid this beer for sure.
It's very hop forward.
It'd be a great beer to give to a friend who likes hoppy beers.
All right, well.
On and off.
I don't think we're going to really reach a consensus on this one. So let's move on to the next one. This is from Carl Strauss Brewing Company in San Diego. This is their Peanut Butter Cup Porter. And we're moving down to 5.6%.
Very excited about this one.
So I've had this one before. This was when we went to the Single Fresh Wet and Wild Hop Beer Festival last at year. Sierra Nevada last year. They had, this was one of the beers Carl Strauss had. And I remember Britton, I had told Britton about it, and it was probably her favorite beer of the day that she had tried. So I haven't had it since. I don't drink a lot of porters, but I do remember it was a very good dessert type beer. It's, you know, the title definitely describes what it tastes like.
Well, it smells fantastic. It smells like a Reese's.
And I just had one of those today, so I can compare.
Have you had this before, Steve?
I have not, no.
You're in a world, you're in for...
It's amazing.
I like the head on this a lot. It's so thick and creamy.
It is. Now, for a porter, it's actually a little more clear.
It is.
It's a lighter brown color with some kind of caramel highlights
like
coming through.
Hazelnut color almost, kind of.
Okay, I'll go with that. Hazelnut.
It's kind of thin. I mean, we described a beer last week as having the consistency of soda. To me, it's kind of like a soda, like a Coca-Cola color, consistency. And the only other peanut butter beer I've had is Belching Beaver. This, just without even tasting it, seemed a lot thinner. Just on the pour, I could tell it was thinner. But I like the aroma. I definitely pick up on the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, like Kira said.
Yeah, it does appear to be a little bit thinner. It doesn't feel like the natural, I guess, taste and feel of a porter.
It smells so good. Amazing.
Yeah.
I could just smell this beer for the rest of my life.
It is a little thin, though. It's a little thin and watery. I'm a little
for a porter,
disappointed in
it
that.
It catches you off guard.
Yeah, it's almost the consistency of an ale more.
It is.
I want it to be a little thicker.
In comparison to, like, the Belching Beaver is a peanut butter stout. This peanut butter porter, I guess I would expect this to be a little bit thinner. But flavor-wise, I think it's got lots of flavor.
It has lots of flavor. It's just a little bit watery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost a little too drinkable. You want to have to chew your porter a little bit, and this one goes down a little too easy. Flavor-wise...
The taste is there. It tastes great.
Does anybody get like a soda water feeling out of this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The feeling.
Definitely
not the taste, but the feeling. I can get it. I'm picking up the hints of chocolate, though.
Tastes about how I remember, you know. It definitely tastes like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup in beer form. There's definitely some carbonation in this beer that, you know, just looking at it, you wouldn't necessarily you get, but I think that's where you're getting that, you know, soda water finish. And I think it's a good example by Carl Strauss. You know, it's definitely not one that I'd want to drink every day or anything, but it, as a dessert beer or one to share with some friends, I think it's a great beer.
I want them to come out with an Imperial Porter or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, let's take this to the next level, double up on the alcohol, you know, 10%, and then see what we got.
The closest comparison that I've had, I haven't had the Belching Beaver, but the Heretic, the chocolate hazelnut porter, it's a lot thicker and creamier. This is kind of, I mean, like I said before, it's a little watery, a little thin.
Yeah.
It's a little weak. It's kind of like if I put a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup in my mouth and also took a drink of sparkling water, that combination is...
I thought you were saying Martinelli's.
That sounds awful.
It does. To me, it's a blend. It's peanut butter taste, but it's thin and kind of bubbly soda water taste.
Yeah. But if we were rating it on smell...
Oh, aroma.
That was amazing.
10 out of 10.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment, and then two more beers that somewhat relate to the season. We'll explain. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoy this podcast or the Beer of the Day website, then you can support us by shopping on Amazon. There's a banner on the website, and it says Shop on Amazon. Imagine that. If you go and click that banner and do your regular shopping, then it doesn't cost you a single penny more, but we will get a little bit of commission on that, and it will help us pay for everything we have to pay for here on the Beer of the Day podcast. That includes bandwidth for all the streaming people downloading the podcast. Same thing for the website, all the photos that everyone has to download, the web hosting itself, the emails and the SMS text messages we send out each day, sending everybody the Beer of the Day. And so if you shop on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website, you can help us out. Also, if another way you can help us out without having to spend any money is that if you enjoy this show and you have a friend that also likes beer, then let them know about it. Even teach them how to download the podcast app on their phone so that they can subscribe to the podcast. And that will help spread the word about the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, let's move into our strange brew of the day. Welcome back. Strange Brew segment. We have coffee pecan pie porter. Coffee pecan wasn't good enough. It just has to be coffee pecan pie. From Clown Shoes, Ipswich, Massachusetts.
We've had good luck with Clown Shoes so far on the podcast.
We did.
Made good stuff.
We had that undead dance party that we all liked.
We've officially left the amber-colored beers.
I can't see through it at all. It's
this is how the peanut butter dark, cup should have looked.
As I said, comparing this to the last one, I mean, this is much, much darker than the Carl Strauss
dark,
porter.
Dark brown, bordering on black, and there's just little red highlights coming through on the side. Very thin, tan head. Mmm.
Not a really pleasant smell.
It smells like pecan pie and coffee.
Huh.
And I get the pecan strange. Pie because like pecans are just like the nuts.
Yeah.
But smells nutty. You want the brown sugar and the pie aspect, all the sugar.
The sweetness. Yeah. And
I think I do smell a little coffee too, but I think that people want to have a cup of coffee with their pecan pie.
I would right now, if I had a pecan pie and a cup of coffee, I would eat that.
Off topic, but who likes pecan pie?
Actually, no. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know. I've never had it.
I like the filling more than I like the
pecans on the top. Yeah. Just checking.
You got to nail the filling.
Do you smell a little peanut butter in this, or is that just leftover from the last one?
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's got like a chocolatey peanut butter scent to it.
Hey.
I think more coffee and more chocolate, maybe a faint hint of peanut butter.
So the coffee definitely comes through in the beer. That's the first thing I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Was it's definitely a coffee forward. You get that flavor up front.
Not too bitter, though.
No.
More like just the flavor
of coffee, not necessarily the bitterness from coffee.
Yeah.
Because then it transitions into some sweetness. A little bit nutty.
I wouldn't say it's pecan, though. I mean, I know that's what they use, but I mean, you definitely get that same flavor from like a nut, but it's tough to say it's pecan pie. I know it's just kind of marketing in that sense, but it's
pecan pie.
It's more walnut.
Yeah,
the right? Identical twin. Well,
it's a little bit darker, right? Because that pecan pie taste is really, really sweet.
Right.
And this is
and
kind
a
of
rich flavor.
And rich. And this is more on the darker side, darker, more dark malt side.
Some of that could be the alcohol content, that they didn't go really high on the alcohol, so it's not as sweet.
Yeah, this is 8.5%, which is high, but it's not as high as it could get.
mean, it's got that like toasted and, you know, roasted coffee beans. I like this beer a lot. To me, it doesn't really taste that much like pumpkin pie. I don't know if I'd really call this a strange brew.
Pecan pie.
I was going to say, it shouldn't taste like pumpkin, I'd hope.
pecan pie.
You got the wrong beer, Jeff.
It doesn't, no.
Pecan pie. But this is what a porter should taste like. I like the taste. This is what a porter should be.
I mean, when I saw coffee and pecan pie in the same sentence, I thought that's something I've never seen before. And so that's why I picked it as a strange brew. But we have a really kind of, I wouldn't say standard, but
easy. It's an easy drinker. It's, you see all those flavors on a beer of this style, and you think, you know, this is one of those where I'll have one bottle and that's good for the year. Yeah, I'll have another one next year.
You think maybe it's really heavy and rich?
But this you could drink every day if you wanted to.
It's got a very crisp finish. Like I said, most of what I get from it's the coffee up front, and you know, but it's balanced on the back end. It's got a good malt backbone and malt profile to it, and like I said, it's definitely not a sweet beer. So if you're getting it thinking that that's what you're gonna get, you'd be disappointed. So
it's a little bit like the beer we had last week, the Ben and Jerry's, where you're expecting it's a sweet beer, and it's really, it was more of an earthy beer,
yep,
and a little bit more bitter than you'd expect. And it's the same with this one. You see pecan pie, you expect it to be sweet, but this one doesn't disappoint me like that other one did. This one is actually a well balanced and complex and rich beer.
I like what Jeff said though about it being a, you know, the characteristics of a porter, and I really like this for, if I say I'm having a porter, I would drink this. You know, this is great porter right here.
Tastes like an iced coffee. I mean, it's cold and, you know, a little bit of sweetness, so I don't know, you have a little cream to it or something. And that's what I get from it.
Now let's get into the beer news of the day. All right, so last week we did the podcast on Friday night, and then on Monday it came out that Ballast Point had sold for $1 billion.
It's billion with a B, folks.
A lot of money.
And so I decided to break into the podcast that we recorded, and this is what I led off with. Another one busts the dust. Another
one busts the dust. Ow! Another one busts the dust. Hey, I was gonna say, can we change this to our news music?
Yeah, this is pretty much every week what you're gonna have. So some people had a little fun with it this week, and they had the 5 stages of craft beer grief. How to cope when your favorite brewery sells out. And this was on Paste Magazine. And, I mean, it was a little bit goofy, but it was kind of funny. Stage one is denial. And usually when these announcements come out, it's on a Monday, which is what it was this time. And you've had a long weekend, drank a lot of beers, and so you're a little fuzzy-eyed when you're waking up in the morning. And generally, you don't really want to believe it. You just kind of tune it out and roll back over and go back to sleep for another few hours. Then there's the anger phase. You open the fridge and you see the beer sitting there, and it just makes you mad. And you don't even want to drink the beer anymore. You want to burn all your t-shirts from that brewery, break the beer bottles, you know, so you have that anger phase. And then you have the bargaining phase. This is for the real ambitious people that try to convince the brewery that it's a bad idea.
I'm not taking that step. I'm skipping that one. I'm only going through 4 stages.
And then there's the depression stage. You look back at all the good times you had with the brewery when it was still independent, and then you untag yourself from any photos where you had the beer. You unlike the brewery on Facebook. And you start hoarding the bottles that you didn't break so that later you can have a taste of what it was like before the merger, you know, back when it was pure. And then there's the acceptance phase. You know, we are here in the United States are still in the midst of the craft beer renaissance. There's still plenty of other breweries out there. And in all of these deals, they spend so much money on these breweries, they don't want to mess up what the brewery's doing. So they let them completely operate how they want at this stage, because there's no reason not to. And so the beer doesn't change, and it actually, doesn't really affect what you're experiencing at all at this stage. So that's the five stages of grief when your brewery sells out.
Do you think Lagunitas feels like they could have done a little better now? What do you think the size comparison is, or like the?
No, it's actually equal in value. Oh, well, they only sold half.
They sold half.
For half a billion, but Lagunitas is a lot bigger than Ballast Point, so I could see what you're saying.
Yeah, they could have held out a little longer. They could have done a little better.
But the Ballast Point growth is, they have a lot more potential than Lagunitas' growth. But Lagunitas is already huge,
Yeah.
I think the first thing I said when I saw the story was, good riddance. When a brewery that charges $16 for a six-pack of their run-of-the-mill IPAs and pale ales, it's just ridiculous. And Ballast Point's rubbed me the wrong way for a long time in a lot of ways. So who cares? I honestly don't care. A lot of people do. A lot of people love them.
I like Sculpin, but I definitely agree that they charge more than a lot of other craft brewers that we have access to that are pretty much on the same level.
Yep.
I agree. Okay, then another brewery that decided to have fun with it was Modern Times in San Diego, and they put out a statement today on Facebook. Today is Friday the 20th. This podcast will be out on Tuesday. Here it is. It has been an incredible 2.5 years here at Modern Times, and the outpouring of support we've received has been truly humbling. However, we've reached the point at which additional backing is needed to sustain our rapid growth, and frankly, we're ready to get paid. Which brings us to today's blockbuster deal. We are proud to announce that we have finalized negotiations on the sale of our used 2009 Honda Fit for a staggering sum of $6,100, a remarkable 6% above Blue Book value for a vehicle in fair condition. And it goes on and on. But, you start reading that and you're like, uh-oh, I start getting my clip ready. And then it ends up being a joke. So
I especially appreciate the buyer whose current portfolio includes a 2005 Dodge Neon and a vintage Vespa. So well done, Modern Times. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Okay, and then the last article, we'll venture back into the Thanksgiving related. This was in the Washington Post, and they had a beer expert on there that kind of gave some pairings for mashed potatoes, and they gave Washington, D.C. specific beers to pair it with, so I'm going to just paraphrase this. With mashed potatoes, beer is always good with mashed potatoes because the carbonation washes away the fat on your palate. Lean towards an extra malty and robust porter. The hints of roasted coffee, chocolate pair well with the heavier fats like butter and sour cream. Stuffing, the perfect match is a Belgian Saison. So basically it plays well with the onions and herbaceousness of the stuffing, the more spicy Belgian Saison. The white meat of the turkey can be overwhelmed if you go with too big a beer. So he prefers something like Omegang's Abbey Belgian Double. So stick more in the lighter Belgian spectrum there.
A little fruitier to
stay away from hops. Yeah,
dark fruits like cherry, plum, and raisin. So that sounded pretty good to me. And then the pumpkin pie. And this is where you can go big, he says. This is where you can break out those big 10 and 12% roasty beers that are going to play off the pumpkin pie. And his favorite, North Coast Brewing Old Rasputin Imperial Stout. We've all had that.
Great choice. Can't go wrong with that.
So after I have turkey dinner, the first thing I want to do is sleep. So if I have 4 beers on top of it, I'll be out at the table.
You won't wake up till tomorrow.
All right, let's move into the next beer is Brown Sugar.
I have not had this beer for several years. I'm looking forward to this.
Andy has not had this beer for several days.
For several days. A month.
No, you had it at last weekend at golf.
I did have it last weekend at golf.
There you go.
You're right.
Must have had a few.
Not just one. I had two.
So this is 9.8%. Lagunitas Brewery, Petaluma.
I love this
kind
beer.
Of a reddish amber color. Pretty good head.
Yeah, it's moving thick back head. In the same color as the first three beers we did.
It has a bit more of a hop aroma than I would expect from something being called brown sugar.
It's Lagunitas. Everything they do has hops in it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You see a beer called brown sugar, I'm really expecting that real...
You taste it yet?
Toasted caramel. I've had it before.
I do get a caramel, brown sugar kind of aroma. Very pleasant.
I only get mild hop aroma. I don't get
It's not overkill, yeah. No.
I get both. I definitely get the hop aroma, but I also can smell a little bit of the sweetness of like a roasted brown sugar or something like that, like caramely.
It made Dallas's head spin around.
Yeah, it's got a little bite to it, a little alcoholic bite.
Yeah, this doesn't try and mask anything too much. There's a lot of booze in this.
We were golfing last week, and I had one of these, and it was kind of warm, and it was
rough to get through.
Syrupy, and yeah. Syrupy, warm, and hard to get down. There's too much alcohol at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it was early.
I think the hop flavor in this beer is very well balanced by the sweetness of it. They really pair well together the way that they're combined in this beer. It's just not overly hoppy. You're not going to drink it and go like, oh, this is such a bitter beer.
No. The sweetness definitely balances out the hoppiness.
I don't think you can drink this and call it a bitter beer. I mean, the sweetness on the finish is so intense. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's some hops that are present for sure, but I drink this and it's just so much sweetness on the aftertaste.
That's my point. For someone who doesn't like hoppy beers traditionally, I think this would be a great beer for them to try and see something that has those hop notes, but it can really have a much different flavor than what you might expect it to.
See, for me, I still think there's actually a lot of hops in this beer. It's just that with the alcohol content as high as it is, it just really, you don't notice them as much, but that's a compliment to Lagunitas. That's what they do to balance it out, you know, and it's a good beer. I enjoy it for sure.
Like the last time I had this beer, we were at Lagunitas Brewery and we were outside on a warm day and it did warm up pretty quick. Like Andy said, as soon as it warms up, it was quite a bit rougher to drink.
Yeah.
But this beer is chilled. It's very drinkable.
When they're cold like this, it's dangerous. Yep. You get a six pack of this and you can drink that whole thing and you are on the floor the rest of the night.
I bet I could drink down that bottle no problem within, you know, a few minutes. Be ready for the next one.
Wow.
I know. Probably like 8 to 15 minutes I could drink that one bottle. Just kidding.
Probably could. Let's try that after this show's over.
See how many you can have.
Any other final thoughts on this one?
It's one of my favorite regulars from Lagunitas. I really enjoy it. I mean, I don't have much to add, but...
How much brown sugar taste do you get?
Not a lot, but there is the sweetness.
The sweetness, it doesn't really... I guess if you have to pin it down because it says brown sugar, you say that's brown sugar, but to me it's like this...
It's just sugar.
Yeah, and I don't know that they mean actual brown sugar by the name. I think they mean sweet alcohol.
And I get a little bit of it more on the aroma than anything else. Like I get the hops, and then I also get a little bit of like I said earlier, like kind of a... I'm almost like a roasted brown sugar, which is, I know it's a weird thing to say, but it's kind of that caramel smell, and I don't know, that's what I get from it.
Yeah.
I mean, it says, cultured brewery yeast is akin to feeding raw shark to your gerbil. It is unlikely to ever occur in nature. So I don't know that when they came up with brown sugar, they were really thinking straight after writing that line.
All right, Let's move into the final beer of the evening. This is the Black Butte 27.
I'm really looking forward to this.
The 27th
beer.
Birthday Reserve from Deschutes Brewery, Portland, Oregon.
Dal and I had the 26 a couple of times last year. We had bought a bottle. I believe it was on the podcast, but we also had it on tap when at the Stouter Day that they had at OTP. That was one of the ones that they had on tap there, and it was just a very good beer. You know, it's with the bourbon barrel aged and everything else that they put into it. It's always just Deschutes does a good job. So
if you're listening on the podcast,
there's a lot of sawing.
All that noise and the banging on the table is Andy sawing through
the wax
cap.
He's gonna get the power tools pretty soon.
I usually do pretty good with this, but
not today.
They have a thick layer.
Extra thick. It's like Maker's Mark quality.
Just use your bottle opener. It'll work.
He's been trying. It's not doing much.
Oh, there
it goes. There we go.
That was so hard.
Oh, I can drink this one by myself. But this is like the granddaddy of the beers of this show. This is what I expect to be a phenomenal beer of this whole show.
Look at when Andy pours yours, look at the head cascading down.
Pretty cool.
That looks so amazing. The color is so dark and...
You going to go somewhere with that, or are you just going to
stare
at it longingly?
I'm fascinated by the cascading head going down the side of my glass.
But it's the same color as the clown shoes. It's the same like black color.
A little bit more head on the pour, a little more like looks, I haven't tried it, but it looks definitely a little creamier, a little thicker. Still kind of got a little tannish head on it.
It smells so good.
There's a lot going on in the aroma alone.
The color looks very much the same as the last beer, but this one has a lot more head and a great lacing. It just sticks to the side of the glass.
So on the aroma, I'm not getting a lot of the bourbon barrel. I know it's Asian bourbon barrels, but I definitely get a lot of fruit smell to it for sure.
Chocolate covered cherries.
Yeah. Like the dried cherry. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like a smashed blueberry? Or like a whole blueberry? You guys had to be here last week for that one.
I get caramel too.
Boy, yeah. I get the chocolate and I get pomegranate. I mean, that's what it says is in here. Pomegranate molasses. I think they had that in the last one.
I can smell the pomegranate.
For me, it's the chocolate and the stone fruit, apricot, I know, which they've said in there, but even cherry, you know, something along those lines. I agree with Steve, sure, that's what it comes through.
Maybe a hint of banana, even. I smell something.
I don't get any of that. But
a little banana or something nutty. It's very complex.
Yeah, this is one of those beers that's so complex that we could probably come up with 10 different fruit flavors. There's so much fruitiness plus chocolate plus I don't know. It's chocolate and fruit all around. The initial taste, the finish, it has it all.
This is the consistency of what I wanted the Carl Strauss peanut butter to be. It's just the perfect amount of thickness in there. It's creamy. That's such a great texture to it.
It's definitely got a velvety texture to it. And with the bourbon barrel age, it's just smooth as can be on the finish, but it's got such a complex flavor.
Yeah, it's so rich and there's so many different things going on, and it's thick and it's strong and alcoholic, and it makes the Carl Strauss seem like a kid beer.
It's like when you go wine tasting and you go through all the wines and they're all $20, $25. And then the last one's that $50 bottle, and you're like, this can't be that much better. And then you take that sip, and it's just like, wow, right? It's that.
How am I going to buy a different bottle?
Yeah.
There's something in here that's a little bit, are you guys getting a little sour, or I don't know if it's sour is not the right word, but something that's just a, you know, I expected it to be really sweet and alcoholic, but there's something in there that's kind of countering that taste.
Probably the pomegranate. Pomegranate's not real sweet.
It's tart.
Yeah, a little tartness to it. Yeah.
Yeah. pomegranate molasses.
I mean, cherries is a tart flavor.
That. Yeah.
And I do get a lot of cherry in this. Chocolate and cherry.
Dried cherry.
Chocolate's definitely like a big part of this. And I think just the fact that it's aged in the bourbon barrel just really mellows out any kick it has. I mean, we're looking at a beer that's approaching 12%. So it's...
And it was aged for... Half of it was aged for 6 months.
I want to say something crazy that we don't normally want to hear or like try and alter a beer. But if we wanted to have a spicy beer or like a little bit of heat and something, I want to put a little bit of like a little bit of chili in this, like a mole sauce.
We'll put some tapatio.
Man, I think that would be like really just over the top.
It'd be disgusting. It'd be stupid.
It probably would.
Try one of the clown shoes because they have a lot of spicy beers that are similar.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Oh, yeah.
I know Nadal loves the spicy beers.
Yeah, up the, what's the, Prilosec.
I mean, this is fantastic, but I feel like it could even go a little further. Like, there could be something else in here for me.
You know,
this would be a good beer, like an ice cream float, a beer float.
Yeah.
Vanilla ice cream.
It'd be
cream
an
with
expensive
this.
Ice cream beer float, but.
It'd be good.
It'd be good. Luckily, you get the whole bottle to yourself.
Ours is already gone.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So, anyway.
Such a good offering.
Kira, what does Kira think of this one?
I don't know. It's okay. I think I still like the peanut butter porter a little bit better, but.
A little too much for you?
I think it's, yeah, too many things going on. It's a little too complex. I don't know. I like the slight sour, but there's something in there that's just too much.
Well, it is 11.6%, so it is the beer is no joke.
Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily hiding.
I think it hides the alcohol very well, but it's a very bold beer.
You can taste it though. It has the alcohol burn.
Not like I think the brown sugar showed the alcohol a lot more.
I don't get a burn. I know that it's there. I know that just based off the taste that it has a lot of alcohol in it, but I don't get any burn from it. I think it's just a very mellow beer that.
Brown sugar kicks more than the Black Butte. Okay, well, I think we've did a fairly okay job of describing that.
Can we name this podcast the Fairly Okay Podcast?
We've done better.
Fairly Okay Thanksgiving.
Yeah, this was a tough one. There's a lot to take in here.
I think Jeff's victory was different than ours. Like he different batch, different. Life,
it's rare that we have like this is so carbonated and ours is like
flat,
no carbonation. Yeah, that was a weird one. Okay, well, let's take us. Andy, you want to take us through the beers we had today and recap, and then we'll go through and pick which one we like the best.
Sure. So we started off with the Goose Island Autumn Ale and the Experimental Ale. We moved on to the Harvest Ale from Victory, the Peanut Butter Cup Porter from Carl Strauss. The Coffee Pecan Pie Porter, our Strange Brew from Clown Shoes. And then we finish it off with the Brown Sugar from Lagunitas and the Black Butte 27th Birthday Reserve from Deschutes.
All right, you got the pen. Let's see who's going to pick the first beer of the day. Still spinning. Hold on. And it's Steve.
Winner. I think I'm going to not be going out on a limb here when I say that I'm going to go take the Black Butte 27th Birthday Reserve.
That you'd like the Harvest Ale. That was your favorite.
Nope. Definitely not the Harvest Ale. Fantastic beer. I don't know what you paid for the bottle, but I would pay that much to drink this sometime. Fantastic. Just very well balanced, very drinkable, rich. Everything you'd want in a heavy, high alcoholic beer.
All right.
Kira.
I would have to go with the peanut butter cup porter. Even though it was a little watered down from what I remember having it beforehand, I did really enjoy it. And it's just the chocolate peanut butter. It just reminds me of Reese's peanut butter cups in general, and I absolutely loved it.
And those are so good.
They are amazing. I had one. They're unstoppable. You cannot stop eating those silly things.
Okay. So for me going into the show, like I had an idea what was going to be my beer of the day, and I'm going to have to stick to it. The Black Butte 27, I mean, it's just an amazing beer. It's so complex and rich, and the depth of flavor, it's got everything. With that being said, my number two for the day would be the Goose Autumn Ale. I just think it was a very good beer that had the hops balanced out really well, and it was just a good beer. So I just wanted to give that a second shout out.
I will concur with Brandon. As he was talking and as he said, the Black Butte was his beer of the day. I was going to go ahead and go with the Autumn Ale from Goose Island, just to kind of be the
dissenting opinion,
right? Because I thought that was very well and definitely worth mentioning. But then Brandon mentioned it, so I'll just go along with him. Black
Sorry,
Butte 27 is my favorite beer of the day, and definitely what I consider the best beer that we've had tonight. But there's a lot of other beers here, a couple other beers here that I wouldn't mind having again. And that Goose Autumn Ale is definitely one of them.
Jeffrey.
I think you guys stole my thunder a little bit, but, cause I was going to do the same thing. I mean, obviously to me, I think the Deschutes Black Butte is my beer of the day. I think it was an awesome beer. I don't want to talk about it too much. It's great. I love it. Beer of the day for sure. But in keeping with the theme, I think the Clown Shoes was my second choice. The coffee pecan pie porter, not pumpkin, coffee pecan. I just want to say a couple of things about this beer. I think in name, it's a strange brew, but to me, this is what a really great porter should taste like. I like the smokiness, the roasted coffee kind of burnt flavors. I think if there's pecan flavor in there, it's very subtle. I really enjoyed that beer. That was my second choice for sure. I would highly recommend the Clown Shoes coffee pecan pie porter Thanksgiving meal if you want to have something like that. I think it's a great beer, but it's hard to not pick the Deschutes Black Butte 27th birthday. That was a phenomenal beer, so I got to stick with that. Deschutes all the way.
I'd recommend that Comcast improve the quality of their internet service.
So I would just say ditto, but I'll say what Jeff said in clear words here. Obviously, beer of the day, Black Butte 27th, none of the other beers even compared. But the coffee pecan pie porter was extremely enjoyable porter. Jeff said that by name it's strange, but by taste it's not. I think that there's still a sweetness there, and there's the coffee. It's not necessarily strange, but it's not just what a porter should be. It's a very good base porter, but it does have a little hint of this and a little hint of that, and that's what you really look for in that type of beer. I don't want to be hit in the face with coffee and pecan pie. That's not the kind of beer I could drink a lot of. This beer I could drink any day.
Well said. Hey, you guys should have told me that this was pick your second beer of the day show. I would have gone with that. I would have let off with that. It's not fair. You guys didn't all clue me in on that one.
Well, I knew everybody was going the Deschutes, so I felt I had to say something else about something.
What was your second beer of the day?
I would have taken the Autumn Ale. I was pleasantly surprised by it. I didn't think I was going to love it. It turned out I would try that beer again, most definitely.
But not the Harvest.
Not the Harvest. Nope. You guys can keep that.
All right. That's going to conclude our Thanksgiving, fall, autumn, harvest show. But we thank you for tuning in and invite you to check out our show next week. It'll be December 1st. And on that day, we will release the show that we're going to record tomorrow. And that will be a show from Old Town Pizza and Tap House right here in Elk Grove, California. And they are having a Dogfish Head tap takeover, where they have 12 different Dogfish Head beers that a lot of them are very rare to the West Coast. So tomorrow morning, we're going to pack up all of our gear and head over there and then record the Dogfish Head show that you will hear next week. Until then, be sure to check out our website, beeroftheday.com. If you're on Facebook, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thebeeroftheday. If you're on Twitter, you can follow us at Beer of the Day. And if you're on Instagram, we are at Beer of the Day site. If you have any comments about this show, you can leave them on the website in the comment section on any page, or you can email us at feedback@beeroftheday.com. If you have a beer that you really like and you want to share it with us here on our next program, you can do so by just calling our phone number, toll free 1-844-311-BEER, and it will let you leave a message and you can describe the beer that you like, and we will play that on the next show as well. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, Kira Hopkin, Brandon Hofer, I'm Dallas Hellicker. We'll see you next time right here on the Beer of the Day podcast.